Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shellcast Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hallo und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to our first episode discussing Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week we'll talk about Chapter 1, The Riddle House. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed ours and your brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience.
Yes.
But first things first, Bill wants to say something.
Yes, I would like to say this is the year, people. This is the time. This is the book. I don't know. For me, when I was reading the series, Goblet of Fire, you hit it, it just takes off.
Yes.
It really takes off. I mean, again, Chamber of Secrets had to be a good follow-up to Philosopher's Stone, but wow. I don't know why, but after this point, when I remember reading, when I got to Goblet of Fire, I just took off. All of a sudden, you start bringing in international witches and wizards, and it is awesome.
Yes.
So for this international couple over here, I just wanted to say we are really stoked and
yes,
pumped
we are.
About this. Now, before we get too far into all of this, I did want to say that the first three, I would say even the first four books, except for the very end, they're kind of lighthearted, and so that's
yeah.
a good thing, because in book five it's dead serious. Oh my gosh! Did I say that on the podcast? We got that out.
I mean,
it's terrible. But
I found the hashtag the other day.
It's so serious,
Dedrick.
Oh my,
hashtag
that's
Dedrick.
Terrible.
Everyone's making fun of that scene. Okay, everyone loves the music.
Yeah, I love the music. I know
it's so sad.
And I've got to say again, our plug for Puffs. If you haven't seen Puffs, you talk about a play where in which you will cry for Cedric, you will cheer for him, you will root for the Puffs.
Laugh so hard.
Oh my gosh. You'll have such a different understanding, I think, of the Hufflepuffs.
Yes.
And in this book, we get so much of Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm stoked.
Yes, me too.
Now, since I'm on this line of sort of the dad jokes and the puns and whatnot, I can't help myself. But this is the year, folks, I want you to pay attention, where Bill will meet Fleur, right? And they start to kind of maybe court a little bit, and I can imagine that Bill might have said, hey, when I look into the mirror of Era, said, I see you giving me your number.
Oh my God.
Right? are you a snitch because you're the finest catch here, baby? That's what he was saying, right? This one's bad. I'm sorry. We might cut it out. I don't know. Bad. Very bad. The other one was like you may be a muggle, but that body's magical. You're a witch.
Do you think Merope said that to Tom Riddle Sr.?
Holy smokes. I'm putting a note in there that says cut out some of these jokes because they might be not appropriate. Anyways, again, I'm pumped because I don't know, it just takes off in a whole crazy direction.
Yes.
And all these little things, people start to meet, we start to really grow all these different characters. The world just explodes with the Triwizard Tournament, and it's crazy. This book also starts off in a completely different way, too, as you're going to get into when we get into the chapter summary. But get ready, friends. Just hold your hats, get on your broomsticks, and let's go. So,
and also, it is book number 4, and I always knew 4 is, to me, a magical number. I want to advocate for number 4 being a magical number. 3 is cool, 7 is fine, but number 4 is where it's at. We're in year 2024. We're on our way to April, month 4, and we are in the 4th book.
Wow, you're just trying to make all the 4s fit, aren't you, right now?
Yes,
you are. You were number 4 in volleyball, right?
Yes.
Isn't that your number?
Yeah. Yep, that was my first and most beloved number.
Lucky number 4.
Yes, sir. And you're right. I mean, one of my absolute all-time favorite chapters is the chapter where they go to the Quidditch World Cup, not even to watch Quidditch, but to meet, to see all the other wizards and cultures, and yeah. Harry's mind just expanding in that one day where he sees, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. of course, there's a, he never thought about it. Other yeah. wizards and other right. countries, right? It's so, so cool.
So cool.
So I can't wait. Yeah.
All right.
This was our rambling and our excitement that we had to get out.
Yes.
But what's going on in Cottage Ketchup?
Well, what is going on? We are, we got 2 weeks left until spring break. Let's
yes.
go. We're going to be making some good content there. We are embracing this new season of life that we are in. We are just in this
yes.
season where in which we are coming towards spring.
Yeah.
There's some newness. We're feeling good. We're actually springing ahead an hour today as we're recording. You're going to hear this later in the week, but wow, we woke up and lost an hour today.
Oh, I know. Remember last night? I was setting an alarm because we have other plans tonight.
Right.
And it was 11 something. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes you have these in your head. Okay, if I go to bed by midnight, I know 8 o'clock will be 8 hours. It will be my 8 hours. And my phone said, it always tells me, okay, that will be so and so many hours you get, until your alarm hits. And it said 7 hours and 20 minutes. And I turned around. I was like, what?
Yeah.
No.
No way.
How come no one told us that tonight?
Where was my dad when I needed him?
I know.
You know? I mean, he normally is like, don't forget, set your clocks ahead yeah. or something, whatever, you know.
Anyway,
forward.
But you want to know why we stayed up so late last night? Because we had the best time on our couch in front of the TV. Flying in Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh my.
I mean, people won't believe it. We loved playing Hogwarts Legacy when it just came out. We got it for two different consoles mm-hmm. and we wanted to play so bad and just never had the time for it. And last night we said, wow, we worked so hard all day. By the way, we are so prepared for this chapter. We're over prepared and we're going to record even another episode.
Oh yeah.
Only about the timeline of Tom Riddle. So
yeah,
we're going to talk about that later, though.
Right.
So all day we worked on that timeline and mm-hmm. to understand when what happened in his
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Super interesting. So at night we were like, okay, let's take a break. Let's just take a break from Harry Potter. Let's play Hogwarts Legacy.
Let's go.
And it was great because you started. By the way, shout out to Rika. Yes, I absolutely dislike the spiders because you asked about the arachnophobia mode and I didn't turn that on. So we see all the spiders in there. And I tried to fight them after months of not playing. So you got to get used to, the controls again.
There's an arachnophobia mode.
Yes. So if you can't see spiders, like you absolutely freak out. And I'm like, I'm kind of like on the spectrum there.
What in the world?
I don't know what happens when.
What about fear of flying or heights? You know,
ooh.
I had to go on that quest. Had to.
No clue. But
also, I loved it. But
I just wanted to tell everyone that you saved me from the spiders. So
thank you.
Because I was like, I can't do this. I got frustrated pretty quickly, and then you came in with your destiny.
Oh yeah, when I came in, yeah, for sure.
Boom, 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 knocked out some spiders
yeah.
for me, and then you kept playing because you had so much fun, and that was awesome because that led you to the flying lesson, and that was absolutely so freaking stunning.
Yes, it was.
I was blown away, and it was so. To us, it transported us back to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Scotland 3 times, but mm-hmm. the first 2 times we only stayed in Edinburgh, which was already so beautiful and wonderful.
Right.
But then last year we finally got to go out to the Highlands with
yeah.
your dad. And honestly, every time, and this is not, we're not even kidding you, whenever we think back, see pictures of it, we almost tear up because... Mm-hmm. We were able to take your dad there, and he wanted to go there so bad, and he
yeah.
pushed us to also go outside of Edinburgh and see the countryside of
yeah.
that beautiful country. And you really feel like when you fly over the lake, you feel like you've been there. You just,
oh, for
I
sure.
mean, that gorgeous castle, you can absolutely picture it in all the like photos we have.
I mean, so
and videos. And
yeah, the game developers. I know for a fact they've literally been there and they've
yeah.
seen it because they've mapped it out. Like when you fly around and you look and you figure out where the viaduct is.
Yeah.
And then you also know what's on the other side of the road
yes.
and the big lake there.
Yes.
And you know where Hogwarts would be positioned.
Yes.
That's exactly
so
what they did.
Good. Yeah.
They exactly went there and just modeled that.
Mm-hmm.
They just modeled it. And then
yeah.
they built it I mean, they know where Hogwarts is, you know.
And they even added some more beautiful little elements like waterfalls here and there, you know, when the castle's on a bigger hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's so just gorgeous.
Something interesting is that we know because we've been there, and if anybody who has been there in Scotland and the Highlands, I forget the exact spot, but it's called the Viaduct. There's a small creek or stream that runs through there, right? And you were looking for that. You're like, did they have that? And I think they do.
That's so crazy.
So, I mean, that's kind of the attention to detail that they have. But we did a very non-Hufflepuff thing in that video game.
Oh, I told you we're going to lose points.
I knew we were going to lose points, but I didn't care because he was like, you want to go on a detour? We're up on a broom flying around. Absolutely.
Yes.
I haven't looked. Are we allowed to play Quidditch? Is Quidditch ever come back? I don't know if Professor Black is...
I don't think Quidditch is a part of the game. It's just flying.
Yeah, I think I hope there's an expansion or something where they add that in.
Yeah, that's the thing. He said that, right? No Quidditch this year.
No Quidditch this year. Yeah. So, but we were able to fly, which was cool. So we can fly all over the area and everything. So we were just in Keen Bridge the other day. I went and delivered some invisibility potions.
Yeah.
Had to drink them and solved a few of Merlin's maps or quests or whatever they're called.
Riddles.
Merlin's riddles. Yeah. So. That's what we've been up to. We're also, wow, you haven't heard that we're drinking our Dunkin' coffee.
I know, you told me to put it in there, and I'm so hyped up because
I
haven't had a cold brew in so long. I did switch to decaf, but this morning I was like, I need one.
Oh, crap, you're
so
right.
So I am.
You okay?
Yes.
You all right?
I'm on fire. Mm-hmm. But what did you want to say? Dunkin' coffee. Oh, so, it's your fuel for podcasting.
This is, if you're watching the video version, you're going to see this. This is a large This is a large energy cold brew, 4 creams, and it's an energy cold brew, meaning I think they put a shot of espresso in there, right?
Extra shot.
It tastes amazing, and some of you will know, some of you won't. This has been a running podcast since 2016. Okay, so I helped Swish and Flick start their podcast and got them going, and then started a bunch of different ones myself. Went a little crazy, but the drink that drove me through all of that was like an energy cold brew, or a nitro cold brew at Starbucks and whatnot. I mean, there's depending on where you go, you get your drink. But Dunkin', when it came into Mount Vernon, I mean, it was just jet fuel. I was churning out podcast after podcast after podcast, and so I've told Lottie. You know, I mean, it's an extra, what, $1.50 or something for that? It's crazy.
They raised their prices.
They raised their prices, so I had to kind of back off a little bit. But when I need to bring it or we have a new exciting moment, I like to go get the energy cold brew and get fired up for a new episode. So here we are.
Yes. And I remember I got to know you on Dunkin' Coffee every time we talked on the phone. You were going to Dunkin's, getting a coffee.
True.
And sometimes you wouldn't tell me that you're about to order. And I was telling you a story on the phone, and all of a sudden you were talking to someone, and I was like, okay, cool.
But I didn't want to interrupt you. I left 5 minutes ago, and I said, I'm going to be at Dunkin' in 5 minutes. And then Lottie proceeds to tell a 20-minute story. And actually, what you don't know is that half of the time, I would sit there and wait you know how long the line is there, right? So I'd be like, oh, surely there's a long line. This story will be finished. She'll finish talking before I get up to the microphone.
I had so much to tell you.
I know you did.
Getting to know each other.
It was so cool. But I mean, wow. I sometimes I would park and wait until you finished because I knew it annoyed you. And I was like, I'm sorry. And then I tried to mute a couple of times. And as soon as I would mute, you would finish. So what do you think of my story? So what do you think? Can you hear? Should I hang up? Are you gone? Okay, I'm hanging. Okay, I'll call you back. Bye. That's literally what... Guys, let me tell you a story. One time, I was leaving school. We were calling. We did this whole 6 months thing where we were just chatting, and my friends are all like, don't get too attached. It's not going to be a real thing. Blah, blah, blah. Calm down, y'all, because it was. And we're married. And we've been married. And we went to Edinburgh and got married. All right, so we're rooting for all of you. You guys need to start rooting for each other. A lot of you are. But I remember we were like on the phone, and there's like probably a patch of 30 seconds. 30 seconds, you guys, where the phone starts to go like, and it kind of cuts out.
Yeah, because there's no internet.
It's like
We're in Ohio.
We're in Ohio. So. And it's 30 seconds. I know it. As soon as she heard the first sort of like glitch, she's like, I'm just going to just call me when you get home.
Hey, that's. It was my insecurity. I just felt awkward that you could hear me I couldn't hear you. So,
I had to do a better job of explaining.
No, it's so funny because now I don't do that anymore because I learned from that. But my mom, every time, it's so funny. Sometimes I talk to her at school and the school bell rings. We have a pretty loud school, but they chose the sound of an old school bell, the classic one, right? So sometimes we would talk and I have a free period, and she hears the bell ring every time. She's like, oh, stops for like 30 seconds. Oh, as if she's never heard it before. But every time again, it's like, I love my mom. She's so sweet. But right. It's so funny to watch. And you're like, you just know it's coming. Okay, the bell's ringing. It's like, oh.
I'm laughing. It's a full dramatic moment.
It is. Full so drama. I'm sorry.
I know, it's okay. I love it.
But I think I've gotten better at it.
You have. I'm just teasing. Teasing.
Yeah, so I think storytelling time's over.
Okay.
I think we got to get serious.
Oh.
In our trivia training session. I feel like we should add a little like boxing gong, you know.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, yeah, because it's the championship. We should have turned each. You know, oh my gosh. You guys, it is time for me to step up. Okay, it is time for us to do some trivia championship stuff. I almost said a bad word. Try saying the championship. I should challenge you with some questions. Whoa. And we should keep score, young lady.
Yes, we should.
Okay, so let me. How many questions do you want to pose per chapter? We'll do this as an intro.
Okay,
and then next chapter we will start to maybe each bring what. Two or three?
Yeah, two questions I think is good.
Two questions?
Or do we need an uneven amount to decide who's the
winner? I think over the course of all the different chapters.
Okay, we keep track of that.
Yeah,
we can get it.
Yeah,
I
so
like
we'll
it.
Do like a trivia, it's not a tri-trivia championship, but...
Well,
I mean, they did like a quadra something,
right?
You know, tri championship with Harry being in there, so we can do a doubles.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
It's the battle of trivia.
The battle of trivia. All right, guys, let's do this. Let's train. This is going to be for me.
Yes.
We have one question today.
Yes, we do. Thank you, by the way, to everyone who answered the questions. Our four trivia questions on Instagram. You guys are awesome. I had so much fun scrolling through these, and most of you did really, really well on them. So,
yeah.
And even though they were very specific to the first chapter, you guys remembered a lot of it. But well, don't worry, I'm not going to torture you with those four questions.
Why not? I know the answers.
I have a German question for you today.
Oh man.
I want to know, what is the Goblet of Fire called in the German books? And I'm going to give you three options here. And
Jiminy.
Let's see which one you're going to choose.
Okay,
so...
Can I phone a friend? Arna, Rika,
Julia.
Julia, can I call somebody?
Nine.
Okay.
Okay, so A, is it Die Gabel der Flammen? B, Der Feuerkelch? Or C, Das Feuerbecherchen?
Ooh. You know what I know about... So here's what I'm thinking. All right, so we call the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
And I know that German words typically condense a lot of their stuff when they're just describing this one thing, I think.
Okay.
So the is just going to be your die, der, das. Why do you have all three different kinds? I don't know which one it is. But then I kind of have a feeling that you have to throw goblet, but you're describing the goblet, so it could be der Flamen. Sounds close, right? Mm-hmm. Right, folks? Sounds like, you know, you're flaming. But I don't think it's that one. I think it's too obvious. I think it's too obvious that it would be that one.
You think it's Captain Obvious?
I don't think you would give me a softball like that. I think it's going to be so... Can I ask a question? Is it,
yeah.
is it masculine, feminine? Does that help me at all if I know that here? If I know D and Dare and Das...
I'm not going to help you. You got to make
C.
a decision.
It is C. It is C. I know it is C. Das Feuerbecherchen.
Das Feuerbecherchen.
Becherchen. Becherchen. Yeah.
So C it is?
Yeah, C.
What
does that say? What does C say? What does C say?
So ein Becherchen is like a small cup.
Chen,
the ending chen always means it's something smaller.
You sounded small in my mouth.
It's diminutive.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is actually B, der Feuerkelch. So Feuer means fire, and Kelch is your goblet.
Wait, it's der.
Der, and that's masculine. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, Here's your German, your daily German lesson for you.
What's the first one say?
Die Gabel der Flammen.
Gabel is a spoon, right?
Yes. No, you remember Gabel is not a spoon, but what
a fork.
Is it? The fork.
Darn it.
The fork of flames.
The fork of flames. My gosh, can that be my new name for life? That I'm the Gabel der Flammen.
That's yes. That sounds pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Okay, well, hey, that's actually good because that's not that's just some German Harry Potter trivia.
Yeah.
So moving forward, we will create a competition. Make a note to that we have to kind of continuously each chapter. You bring two questions, I'll bring two questions. We will do a running total, a score. Mm-hmm. You guys can place your bets.
Ooh.
We will have a spot. Maybe what we'll do is post a poll. And we're going to screenshot that bad boy and see who thinks.
Wait.
What do you guys think? Are you Team Bill or Team Fleur? Come on.
But now we have to find really hard questions then, right? It's on us to kind of challenge the other one.
Watch me.
I'm just saying that it might be very hard. Like
it
you
might. Yeah.
You could say how many flowers did Frank Rice cut
before he... I see what you're saying. You're saying that maybe we should have a third. You know what we could do?
We need a pool of questions.
We could have other people submit questions to you and to me to challenge you. So that way we have sort of a third party kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe we have some people send us in stuff and then...
Or we buy a trivia. That would be a cool idea, but I'm fearing they could manipulate what kind of questions they send to whom.
And then see.
Be like, oh, we're going to send the easy questions to one of them.
Right. They place their bets on you, and therefore they send difficult questions in for
so
me.
So how about we look for an actual trivia set? Because we come up with the questions on our own, which has been really fun.
Yeah, okay.
But that'd be cool. So you just it's a chance thing, right? We just pull out the question.
Yeah. What exactly. Okay. What if we had that component as well as we each could bring one question to challenge each other.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Quick little trivia business meeting there on the old podcast, but I think it's fun. I think this being the championship year, lots of competition, let's do it.
I love
it. Let's go crazy.
Bring two questions for each other.
All right. Now, moving out of our trivia training, let's move on into, I guess, the main chapter, right?
Let's move on to our chapter summary audio experience. Chapter 1. The Riddle House. The very first chapter in The Goblet of Fire takes us to the small Muggle village of Little Hangleton in England, where a mystery from the past intertwines with ominous events in the present. The story begins with the Riddle family, who were found murdered 50 years ago without a single mark on their bodies. The prime suspect was their gardener, Frank Bryce, though he was never convicted due to a lack of evidence. He repeated to the police over and over again that he had seen a pale, dark-haired teenage boy near the house that day. But since no one else had seen the boy, nobody would believe him. And despite his innocence, the villagers still held suspicions against him. Fast forward to the present. Frank Bryce, now an old man, continues to work as a gardener for the Riddle House. The once magnificent manor is now run down and abandoned, owned by a rich man who never even came to check on it, but continued to pay Frank to take care of the yard. One night, Frank notices a flickering light coming from one of the windows at the house and decides to investigate. He overhears a conversation between two voices, one sounding quite fearful, addressing the other as "my lord," and the other one cold and high-pitched, making the hair on Frank's neck stand up. He listens to the two men discussing plans involving Harry Potter, the Quidditch World Cup, and the Ministry of Magic. Frank is convinced something must be wrong with his ears. They go on to talk about a plot against Harry Potter, a woman named Bertha Jorkins, who they murdered after getting important information out of her, and a faithful servant who will rejoin them soon. Frank is terrified, realizing these people are planning more murders and that Harry Potter is in danger. Frank knows he needs to do something. He has to report the criminals to the police. But before he can act on his discovery, an enormous snake slithers around the corner. Nagini moves right past the old Muggle and into the room with the two men. She tells the owner of the cold voice about Frank eavesdropping right outside the room. The door opens, and the man with the cold voice, still turned towards the fireplace, reveals himself to Frank as Lord Voldemort. In a chilling moment, Frank Bryce bravely and unknowingly faces the darkest wizard of his time. He even mocks Voldemort for calling himself a lord and challenges him to turn the chair around and face him like a man. Voldemort mockingly agrees and orders Wormtail to turn his chair around. When Frank sees what is sitting in the chair, he screams so loud that he can't even hear the incantation that kills him with a flash of green light. Meanwhile, 200 miles away, Harry Potter wakes up from from a bad dream, unaware that the events of his nightmare really happened.
Dang. People sleep on Frank Bryce.
They do.
Is that what the kids would say? They sleep on him. He is a brave dude.
Absolutely.
He's like, face me. What's up? Yeah, well, got a lot of thoughts about this guy. Mm-hmm. I often think about one of my favorite scenes in the movies is just the fact that I love how this movie starts off.
Yes.
I love how this book starts off. And that we're right there at this creepy manor. And we don't know at first that it's a dream. We're sort of like, what's going on? We're not at Privet Drive. We're not with Harry and the Dursleys. And we have no clue until the very end that it's actually a dream, that Harry is, or that he is connected somehow. It's weird. And I think this is something that Tiffany has often said on Swish and Flick. This is where you start to drift into, like, how is the story being told to us? Because there's a part where, you know, it seems like Harry dreamed all of this.
Yeah.
But the first part of this is way back, some backstory in terms of Frank Bryce and the whole riddle story, the whole mystery, right? So the part where if he's just linked to Voldemort's mind, he would really only see the part where Nagini comes in and says, hey, Frank is on the stairs. So why is it that, you know, we get this whole backstory told to us?
Yeah.
It's not really Harry, or is it really Harry? And he can see more and has a greater understanding of what's going on. Things are being revealed to him in his dreams. It's just kind of strange. But, I mean, I know that there are other points in the story where we'll kind of deviate from the norm, and we'll go visit the Ministry of Magic and stuff, and it's just different. So I just think it's cool. This is meant to be kind of like his dream, but not all of it. Is it all of it? I don't know.
That's the thing. We are left in the dark, kind of, because he wakes up. He can't quite remember, and this is part of the next chapter, actually. He can't quite remember for a second what did he dream about. He knew it was something dark, and then he slowly remembers some things. But people have discussed, like, what perspective is his vision or dream from? And is it third person, or is it from Nagini's perspective? But then at one point, it seems like it's from Frank's perspective. So people have debated whether, like, from which perspective does he see it? What does that mean? Is Voldemort already human enough for Harry to have that connection? I mean, his scar is definitely burning, and that's part of the next chapter, right? His scar starts hurting again. So it's an interesting discussion. People are not really agreeing. A lot of people seem to say it's third person.
Yeah.
Because later on, he has more dreams from this, like, bird perspective almost.
Yeah.
But yeah, some say they think it's Nagini because Nagini has just been honored to become a Horcrux.
At this point in time.
So,
you're serious?
Yes. We will talk about that in a second. Yeah.
Okay.
With Bertha Jorkins.
And you have the whole breakdown. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Gotcha.
Yes, I do.
All right. So where do you want to start? How do you want to proceed? Do you have thoughts? Because I have thoughts. What are you thinking?
I would like to start, actually, with the quote from the book where it says a wealthy man owned the Riddle House.
Me too. I have it right here. Are you kidding me?
Okay, that's funny. Because I have a little Reddit thread, and I want to know your opinion on it. Because, again, it's nothing we know for sure.
I think I know who it is.
We can speculate. Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead. Give it to us.
So here is what the book says about that. It says, the wealthy man who owned the Riddle House at this point in time, these days, neither lived there nor put it to any use. They said in the village that he kept it for tax reasons, though nobody was very clear what these might be. The wealthy owner continued to pay Frank to do the gardening, however.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank was nearing his 77th birthday. 77.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what do you think?
Mysterious old man. I never really paid attention to that line, but there is a Reddit theory, a couple of theories, actually. So someone says the wealthy man was Dumbledore. This is one of those small things that always made me wonder while reading Goblet of Fire. The book offhandedly mentions this wealthy man and that he kept the house for unknown tax reasons, which makes no sense, but also that he kept paying Frank to do the gardening all those years. I originally thought, like many others, maybe Voldemort himself who owned it, but realized that made no sense. He would not want it because, you know, it's his grandparents' house. dad's house on the Muggle side, and he would never keep Frank on staff, and the payments also would have stopped after he tried to kill Harry as a baby and was blown out of his body. However, Dumbledore makes a lot of sense. He had the sort of kindness and the money that would keep Frank around. Also, latent guilt that after he wasn't able to help Tom, that Tom's action ruined Frank's quiet and peaceful life. And he also had a vested interest in keeping an eye on anything.
Yeah, okay, that is true. Dumbledore is very curious about Tom Riddle and his origins, because we're going to do a Patreon episode after this. We're going to break down the full timeline. You guys are going to see what we've learned and what you probably already know, but just a good refresher, is that Dumbledore at one point goes to seek out a lot of individuals. Morphin, Gaunt, for example. Right. We think it could be
Of Voldemort.
Yeah, Uncle Morphin. Yep. And probably saw him in the 60s, maybe 50s, maybe 70s, we're not sure. And Hokey, the house elf as well.
Yes.
He visits. So he is definitely curious before and into this sort of first wizarding war that they have. And what is that? I don't know. I mean, like, is he curious enough that he continues to make sure that the Riddle House isn't destroyed? Does Dumbledore keep it there in terms of a trap, maybe, hoping that he does come back one day and just rolls on in and doesn't? I mean, are there other things that would have? Because think about that. Dumbledore could have set up some sort of magic, too, that also tipped him off that the beacons are lit, sort of, and right. someone is there, and that someone who, because the other owners wouldn't stay there. It seemed cursed. It seemed like it was haunted. It seemed off and bad, had a bad feeling. So, yeah, that could be. It could be that old Dumbledore kept that.
Well, there is also the argument that it was Voldemort himself, because someone says they think it would give him immense satisfaction to be the one to own the house after he himself murdered its previous occupants.
Mm. Yeah.
And then he stays in that house for himself to plot his rise to power. And he thinks he would just not give it much thought to Frank at all. Like, he thinks so little of him, but he needs to have someone keep everything up, because otherwise it will raise more suspicions by the Muggles. So he probably didn't even know Frank's name or anything about him. But he did, actually, in this chapter. He reveals he knows. Either he read his mind in that moment, or he just knows about Frank that he doesn't have a wife. Because Frank tries to threaten him, if you kill me, my wife's going to be worried about me and calling the police. And Voldemort's like, yeah, right.
Right, right. So, yeah, he either knows from way back in the day when he committed the murders, or he just uses, he can read his mind and knows. Is there a third option here? So you've got Dumbledore and you've got Voldemort himself. Is there a third option? Because I have a third option.
Oh, tell me about the third option.
I would just say that it could be any one of his Death Eaters, and it really could have been Lucius Malfoy.
I have heard that too. Someone says, yes.
There's no reason to not think
that. A wealthy owner.
You just set up a payment one time to keep a guise, to keep this front of a caretaker or a gardener who's going to trim the hedges and essentially keep it up, right? And they're using it for, quote, tax reasons. But, I mean, who even knows what that means? Actually, most of us Muggles have no clue what that means.
Yay, taxes.
I think, and he has the money to do it, and he was someone who was trusted with some of, I mean, he's trusted with the diary, for example.
True.
Tom Riddle's diary. True. So it would make sense that he might be trusted also to keep the house there in case they ever need it.
Yeah.
Right?
And I feel like if it was Dumbledore, why would Voldemort... I feel like Voldemort would know. Why would he then plot his whole thing about his return in that house? Mm-hmm. That would make sense to me.
Right.
You know, I feel like if he would wonder who's the owner of the house. So I feel like it has to be someone on his side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Either it's Barty Crouch. I mean, could it be Barty Crouch Jr.? No, because he's not back yet. So, no, it couldn't be him. But Lucius or any other, like you said, any other helper,
and again,
minion.
It's something that maybe Lucius has been keeping for years.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't know when Voldemort shows back up there or not. Because, again, he gets kind of scolded at the end of this book. And like, hey, where were you? Mm-hmm. There were rumors and whispers and stuff. But he doesn't really reach out to him. He wants to plot this here and make his... He knows that he's in a weakened state. And he has a fearful Pettigrew who can take care of him in Nagini. who are almost more loyal. I feel like if you're Lucius and other people and you see him in a really weakened state, like he wouldn't want to present himself as weaker before his Death Eaters. He wants to come back and be fully just clothed in all of his power and all of his dark robes and just here I am, right? And all my powerful dark energy.
Yeah.
But right now he's not. He's this creepy, scary looking
baby.
I don't know what he is. Gross looking little thing, you know? Weird. But we've never thought it, again, it comes up in the book and you don't think much of it, but the wealthy man, he has his own Harry Potter Wikipedia page over here. So
I know they just say it's a muggle who,
sure,
you know, that's all we know. We can't, it's just speculation who we think it is. So what do you think, if you have thoughts on the wealthy man who owns the Riddle Mansion manor house?
What do you think?
Let us know. I want to talk about another line or a couple of lines from the book, and this comes from Wormtail, and I want to know your opinion about this. He says to Voldemort himself, "It could be done without Harry Potter, my lord." So the whole plot, the whole plan could be done without the boy, right?
Yeah.
So why aren't we doing this? This is kind of a nuisance to keep feeding you and...
Milking Nagini.
Well, yes.
Jaminy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, let's talk about that too in a second. But he says, "Without Harry Potter," says Voldemort, "I see." "My lord, I do not say this out of concern for the boy," said Wormtail, his voice rising squeakily. "The boy is nothing to me, nothing at all. It is merely that if we were to use another witch or wizard, any wizard, the thing could be done so much more quickly. If you allowed me to leave you for a short while, you know that I can disguise myself most effectively. I could be back here in as little as 2 days with a suitable person." "I could use another wizard," said the cold voice softly. "That is true." "My lord, it makes sense," said Wormtail, sounding thoroughly relieved now. "Laying hands on Harry Potter would be so difficult. He's so well protected." "And so you volunteer to go and fetch me a substitute? I wonder. Perhaps the task of nursing me has become wearisome for you, Wormtail. Could this suggestion of abandoning the plan be nothing more than an attempt to desert me?" "My lord, I have no wish to leave you, none at all." "Do not lie to me," hissed the second voice. "I can always tell, Wormtail. You are regretting that you ever returned to me. I revolt you. I see you flinch when you look at me. Feel you shudder when you touch me."
Wow. Okay.
So, what is Wormtail's true intention by suggesting using another person? I want to know, is it true that he just wants it to be over quickly? Or does he want to try and escape like Voldemort thinks? Or is he actually trying to protect Harry?
So here's the thing. Okay, he had an opportunity in the last book to not go back to Voldemort.
Yeah.
I think the last time he was there, again, he saw him when he was giving information over to Voldemort. He was powerful. There were powerful people. There was opportunity to rise in his ranks, possibly. Or maybe, as I've often proposed, maybe he was getting roughed up and bullied by those individuals, which you might say, well, then if he was getting bullied by the Death Eaters, why would he then be going to them? Why would he be going back to Lord Voldemort? Which, would, you know, definitely wonder about that. Why does he go back? I think he goes back thinking, he goes searching for him, and he is hoping that he can, you know, find some favor, right, with Voldemort. But it turns out that he is not who he expected, and he is not, he got in over his head, as we say.
Right.
So he's here with this really deformed, gross, dark, Voldemort, form of Voldemort, and he doesn't know what to do. So it's almost like he's more, like he's repulsed, and if he is looking for a strong, powerful figure to be next to, yes, he's still scary, but he doesn't seem to quite fit that role that Peter wants him to.
Yeah.
So maybe he does want to leave. Maybe he is trying to get away, and he still has a chance to make things right. That's true. He could do that. Who knows? Could you imagine? I mean, turn double agent again, and he goes back to Dumbledore maybe and says, "Hey, so sorry. right? Sirius is good. Y'all are good. He's in this house, Dumbledore, if you want to go take him out.
Ooh, what if that was his plan?
What if he did that? And he went to Dumbledore and he said, he's in his old father's house. You can, and he's in a weakened state just with Nagini. Does Peter Pettigrew know that Nagini is a Horcrux? Does he know that?
I don't think so. I don't think...
Yeah. He didn't trust him with that.
At this moment, I don't think Voldemort would share... Because Voldemort is still so vulnerable.
Yeah,
I don't think he would share information like that with Wormtail.
The other question is then when Peter goes and finds Voldemort...
Even though... Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I don't know if he could actually hide that from Wormtail or if he would need his help. How did he... We don't really know what it takes to turn something, someone into a Horcrux.
I just wonder if, like, when he goes to find Voldemort, was Nagini already there? I'm guessing so. So Nagini could have already been turned into a Horcrux prior to Pettigrew showing up, right? I think.
Yeah.
Possibly. Or does it happen later? See, you said earlier that it happens now, and I've always kind of wondered when it does happen.
Oh, I'll tell you about it. Yeah.
Oh, you will? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Sweet. So we can kind of talk more about that in a second. But yeah. I guess to answer your question, I think he would want to get away, and I think he would want to maybe turn on the Dark Lord, or the other option is he wants this over and he wants this rise of power. I think he thinks it's too dangerous. You're playing with fire. You're too close to Dumbledore. He's smart.
Yeah,
he is a smart wizard himself, and so he knows, like, we got to get this done in the shadows, in the secret, in the safest way possible. You're doing it in the most risky way. Right?
I mean, Voldemort is a diva.
He's a diva. Yeah.
He needs drama.
He does need drama. That's true. Because it is super dramatic. I mean, it's sort of like we're going to get his most faithful servant back. Right. We're going to go use the Triwizard Tournament and we're going to subvert it all and we're going to make Harry Potter show up here and we're going to use Harry. And then this will be all part of my big return.
Yeah.
Versus this could have been done.
We can't just turn an old boot into a Porky and put it in front of Harry Potter's nose and somehow make him touch it. We have to do it with the Triwizard Tournament.
Right. Right. I mean, really, they could have snuck over, found out the location maybe of the boot that actually took them all to the
Quidditch World Cup,
and instead of transported it to... Like, this all could have been done in one chapter.
No. I can't. Not with Voldemort.
Anyway.
He needs his show.
He needs a show. Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess I think that if you're Pettigrew, you're like... And actually, he's right. Pettigrew is right. The better option would have been to bring him back without anyone knowing, because now what ends up happening is, and I get that Voldemort didn't expect this, but everyone know, like, if you kill someone like Harry Potter or Cedric Diggory and whoever, you alert the whole wizarding world that you're back.
Yeah.
And you're right. He dramatically wants to kind of make his grand entrance back into the wizarding world. But the better way to do it, and I think if he could do it again, he would say, Wormtail's right. I should go just get someone, and I should come back in secret, in the shadows, and I should grow. Yeah. And
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I would not be taking in Lily Potter's blood sacrifice.
Yeah.
Which reinforces and doubles down and triples Harry's protection.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Wormtail... He fled and he had no clue what actually happened after he got away, right? In Prisoner of Azkaban. So he runs away not knowing how it's going to go for Sirius and if they are going to be able, like, they don't know that, or he doesn't know that they are not going to hear out what Sirius has to say. It could be, in his mind, it could be that everyone finds out about his appearance, that he's still alive, that he's a rat, right? So I always wondered, yeah, why did he go back? He didn't have to. And if he's so afraid, I think in this moment, he's too scared that the world would find out about him and he would have to face consequences. Because again, he doesn't know that Sirius flees and they don't hear him out. So it could very well be that Sirius is, when he's innocent and they acknowledge that he's innocent.
Yeah, proven innocent.
Yeah, proven innocent, yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he tries to protect himself by going to the Dark Lord, right? Mm-hmm. That's his only, he thinks that's his only way out. I mean, he could just go live a life as a rat somewhere on the other side of the world if he wanted to.
Yeah,
but he doesn't.
He probably should have. Yeah.
He should have, yeah. And some part of me doesn't want to abandon fully the idea that maybe deep, deep down, this encounter with Harry, with James Potter's son, personally, when he, you know, not a baby, but he's grown up, mm-hmm. looks a lot, I mean, almost exactly like James, and meeting Sirius and Remus again. I feel like I want to give, and you guys know this, we are people who want to give the bad guys the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I feel like one little tiny bit of him maybe wanted to protect Harry, even though he denies it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Maybe. It's just what I hope. So.
Well, and that's why at the end of this book, you'll get the point where he gives him back his hand, that metallic kind of silver hand.
Perfect.
Right? And that's actually when it will that will be the point in time where it will, you know, he has the ability to sniff out any of that loyalty to Harry Potter. And then, you know, I think he knows it.
In this book, we get foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah.
We get foreshadowing about the hand.
Right. I forgot about that.
So, exact. And again, it's the sentence I never really paid attention to. But Lord Voldemort kind of lets Wormtail know, you're going to also play a big role at the end of this plan. Mm-hmm, and Wormtail is afraid. Oh, my goodness. Is he going to kill me? And he's like, no, Wormtail, I'm not going to kill you. But that he will be rewarded, and he says, I will allow you to perform an essential task for me, one that many of my followers would give their right hands to perform.
Mm-hmm.
He says that in this chapter.
Right.
They would give their right hands to perform.
Yeah.
And it's the right hand that he chops off.
Right. Nuts.
I always, was confused. Why does he have to chop off his whole hand?
Needed enough flesh. I don't know. I do not know.
He said, I already lost a finger. It doesn't matter. Let's just chop the whole thing off.
Go back to Star Wars. You got Luke Skywalker's hand comes off.
True. That's a thing.
It's a thing. And also, they tried to use his hand to resurrect Emperor Palpatine. So I guess it makes sense that you need a whole hand.
Well, it's kind of symbolic, too, because, Wormtail is the right hand guy for Voldemort, and he has to cut off his right hand.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's feeding him with that. The same hand that he feeds him with now will be the hand that brings him back.
Yeah.
And, and then Dumbledore, or I'm sorry, why do I keep saying Dumbledore? Voldemort has his own two hands. So. Yeah.
Or does he? At this point in time.
Dang, he's also made up of Wormtail. Isn't that interesting?
Ew, yeah.
Right? I mean, like, Voldemort, when we see him...
His flesh is actually from Wormtail.
It's from Wormtail. Harry Potter is fighting Wormtail. Right? In all these situations. Isn't that crazy?
I mean, Wormtail should be honored to be part of the Dark Lord's flesh.
I mean, he's fighting, and the blood flowing through his veins is Harry Potter's.
Isn't
so
that weird?
So Wormtail, his flesh is mixed with Harry Potter's blood and
makes
some sort of essence and Nagini milk is sustaining Voldemort, and they're all thrown in a pot together. With, by the way, the bones of his old father.
Yeah.
Tom Riddle Sr.
He has to.
What a mix.
I know.
Talk about a nasty
mm-hmm.
dark arts potion.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is weird. It feels like, Voldemort should not want any of that in his own physical form. But all of it has to be in there.
You know, and this goes so back. Weird. One of the biggest flaws that Voldemort has is that he has these Horcruxes that will keep his soul from going beyond, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why his body, when he cast the Avada Kedavra curse on Lily Potter and the protection there, it backfires on him and he is destroyed. His whole body is destroyed.
Yeah.
But yet his spirit lingered because of the other Horcruxes. And then he travels again to Albania. But from there, he's just a shadowy kind of wispy spirit, soul. Right.
He needs a host.
He needs a host. So he has Quirrell for a while. And then somehow, either through Nagini or what is it? What causes Baby Mort to exist? Is it something with Nagini's milk? Is it something with the unicorn blood? Is it, you know, what is it that gives him some form of body back?
I feel like it has to do something with once Wormtail found him, somehow he got this baby form.
Feels like he was already in that baby form. Was he walking around? I don't know. Because that's the weird thing is that it's never explained really how he gets into this baby Mort situation form.
We don't know.
And that was the biggest flaw that he had with his plans, though, is that he had no way. He needed outside help to reconstruct his body.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had his Horcrux laying next to a host body that he could just take over.
Right.
That probably is what if he could go round two on his plan, he would do. In the cave, he would have the locket, and then nearby, his spirit would, you know, go back there, and then there's a host body.
Well, maybe that's why the next Horcrux he turns is Nagini, because he realized, oh, this is kind of a bad plan, because I need someone outside if I have a living thing that I can possess.
Right.
And he did possess some animals, I think, with his spirit linger, vapor mort, right?
Right.
But Nagini now would be exactly like what he would need, I think, is his snake body. He is obsessed with snakes and Slytherin and stuff. So,
yeah,
that's...
Could be.
Maybe a reason. And because, you know, Nagini is his closest, like, thing to what he would probably, like, love or keep close. Like, something he has some sort of affection for, even though we know he can't feel that feeling. But how did he actually make Nagini? And I want to get into Bertha Jorkin's story and her death a little bit. And this is, sorry, it's taken straight from the wiki. I want to read it and talk about it with you. So Bertha Jorkin's, she went on holiday to Albania in 1994. And one night in a wayside inn, what are the chances? She goes on holiday to a country, a big country. She could be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But she runs into Peter Pettigrew,
right,
whom the ministry thought to be dead at the hands of Sirius Black. Although she recognized him, he was able to persuade her to take a stroll with him into the woods, and he was able to overpower Bertha and bring her before his master, Lord Voldemort, who was hiding in Albania. Lord Voldemort was able to break through the memory charm placed by Crouch Senior on her through torture and learned of the imprisonment of his follower Crouch Jr., and also learn valuable information about the Triwizard Tournament, which he would use to try and kill Harry Potter. Breaking through the memory charm had left Bertha severely damaged by permanently damaging her mind and body beyond repair, and Voldemort murdered her with the killing curse because he had no more use for her. Voldemort used her death to turn his snake Nagini into a Horcrux. Pettigrew noted this was a poor move, believing that the ministry would notice her disappearance and that they would have simply modified her memory to cover their tracks, which Voldemort believed would be an insult to her memory.
Hmm.
First of all, I mean, poor Bertha. It's almost like, was it fate? Because two incidents that are so unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
One, she walks into the Crouch house to, I think, get some kind of signature from Barty Crouch Sr.
Mm-hmm.
And she overhears Barty Crouch Jr. talking to Winky.
Yeah.
So that's why Sr. Modified her memory in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So already very unfortunate that she ran into that. And then she goes on holiday to Albania.
Yeah.
Of all places. I mean, again, it's a big country. Exact same spot where Voldemort and Wormtail happen to, you know, have their headquarters.
Yeah. It's bad luck.
I mean, some kind of magic going on? Also, I wanted to know, how did Voldemort even know that there was a memory charm placed on her and that he could break through to get that information that he didn't really know about, right? So, and this leads me back to Dumbledore later on in the series in Half-Blood Prince. He says magic leaves traces.
Yeah.
So I feel like, and we've been playing Hogwarts Legacy, right? There's some people who have the ability to see certain, you know, magic traces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel like definitely Voldemort and Dumbledore, they have the ability to see those magical traces more than others can.
Yeah.
Or know how to identify them. And that's, I don't know. I feel like that would have been an explanation of how he knows to break through some memory term.
It could also be that he was just seeking information, and as he's sifting through those memories, he sees a block. Yeah, he sees a block and he goes, what's this?
Yeah.
It's hiding here.
Something, you know, he would that would be different or looks different in when you perform the legitimacy.
Yeah, because he breaks beyond it. One of the things in the case of Uncle Morphin is when Dumbledore goes to interrogate him, he notices as he's interrogating and reading his mind, he realizes that there is something hidden. Yeah. Same thing. Either there's traces or he sees a memory modification and he breaks through it to reveal Tom Riddle was there.
Yeah.
So then now he knows, okay, Tom Riddle actually showed up at the Gaunt House. Whereas before, when the ministry officials, even if they would have looked at his memory, maybe they're not as skilled as Dumbledore, but they never did. He just confessed, and so they had no reason to really look at his memory. Had they of, they might have seen that a Hogwarts student tampered with it and tried to break through that with other greater officials. So that was a risky move when Tom was younger.
Yeah.
And he you know, fortunately, got by.
Well, otherwise we wouldn't have that story. So.
Wouldn't have the story. So no, I think it's interesting. So what you're saying is that in the summer, when Wormtail goes back, basically Wormtail was there for the creation of Horcruxes.
Because it seems like it.
He had to have been. I mean, so he goes back and finds, because he's there for the killing of Bertha.
But I highly doubt that he knows about the other Horcruxes.
Right. He might not even know exactly what it is that Voldemort did and all that kind of stuff, but he at least is privy to something. He has a clue and a bit of information there. And maybe that's why later on he wants to get away. Because he starts to realize that this guy's never going down.
Yeah.
Right? He's making Horcruxes and he's dealing in dark magic that Wormtail's he's never even heard of. So,
he sees himself nursing him back to health again and again and again. Yeah. So he's like, I'm out.
I'm out, man. If I have to do this over and over and over, this is stupid. So interesting, though. So we have Nagini there as that.
Yes. Is this the first time we ever meet Nagini and hear about her?
Yeah.
I feel like it is.
Yep. So
Nagini is, I mean, she was interesting before, but since the Fantastic Beasts series, I am so excited to hear. One day, hopefully, we will get closure on that story.
Yeah.
How she and Voldemort came together.
Yeah, there is a story there. And if you guys haven't heard my Nagini theory, it's over on the extended edition. And it's short, but I mean, the gist of it is that she had a child. She had Aurelius Dumbledore's child.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have had that child the year after Tom Riddle was born.
Yep.
He's born in 1926. She would have had her child in 1927.
Yep.
And
a child that is almost the same age as Tom.
Right.
Maybe something happens to that child. We don't know. Again, if it's a girl, you said that would be a maledictus because the curse goes on through the female genes, right?
Right. And then I proposed that there might be twins. And there would be possibly a brother who would want to be desperate to save his sister.
That'd
so
be very Star Wars like story.
It would be crazy. I mean, if Nagini sort of again knows she's gonna turn into a maledictus and decides to sacrifice herself in service of this rising great power.
Yeah.
We don't know when and where she is or where she's hiding or what she's doing to protect her children when she comes across. I kind of believe that he first met Nagini I think he met Nagini prior to his downfall, actually.
Yes, I think so too.
I think people think that he met her after Quirrell or whatever, or maybe that he had known, I think some people even think that he met Nagini after he the attack at Godric's Hollow in 81, you know, and so then he flees to Albania. And that was the first time? I don't think so.
No.
He's been to Albania numerous times, and I kind of think that he had the diadem. Raven.
Yes, something. Yes.
Something that when he originally leaves Hogwarts, and we'll talk about this later in our Patreon episode, so we'll give you a full breakdown on it, but he does some sort of protections to that diadem. I think he leaves it and then goes back to Britain. One of the protections I think he might have left around it was a big old giant snake named Nagini.
Could protect
that tree as well as other enchantments. I mean, it's how he protected the locket, and he left it out there in some cave.
Yeah.
Right? So I just think that there's more to the whole Nagini story that we're going to get, through Fantastic Beasts or whatever they decide to do with the rest of that story. Because it's unfinished. They have to finish it.
Right. I mean, and I highly doubt that Nagini met Voldemort so late in the story, because they were leading us to the big meeting between Nagini and Voldemort with her character being a woman, still a human being that we could connect to. And that doesn't seem like she's very evil, and she would go to someone like Voldemort.
Right.
So there has to be a very valid reason for her to go over and completely devote herself to this guy.
You're right. Yep.
And we know that Tom Riddle was very charming when he was still more human, right? He, we know that he traveled for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Again, we're going to break that down in our Patreon episode, but for 10 years he was gone. And this is where he really got into the darkest, places and of magic, and conversed with the darkest wizards all over the world and learned things and changed. He was almost unrecognizable. But before that, he was a pretty handsome young man.
Yeah, charming.
Who knew how to talk to people and persuade them. And like you said, there is definitely this hint at the Nagini Voldemort motherly connection when they mention over and over again they have to milk Nagini to retrieve the venom that keeps Voldemort alive at that moment, just like a mother with a child would do.
And, you know, there's more. That's one direct evidence right there that Nagini did have a child, and her child was taken from her, that it was that she's been displaced from her child. Therefore, she adopts Tom Riddle. Maybe she knows in her maledictus form she can't continue on as their mother. But to fill that void in her snake like form, she's like literally. adopts Tom, who's the same age as her. You know, it's just an interesting twisted.
I'm digging it.
I know. I think everybody who's commented on that has been like, I think you're onto something. And to me, it was kind of obvious that she had a romantic relationship and slept with Credence.
When you showed me that footage, I don't remember if it was
kissing her hand in
scenes or...
One is deleted.
Okay, it's
one one is deleted, but one is not. One is just like where he's kissing her hand in the alleyway, and the other one he wakes up near her, and they're always very close, sitting. She puts her head.
Yeah, the
on
fact
his
that they filmed
shoulder.
That.
Yeah,
where they lay with, like, you know, they just laying next to each other.
Right. It's super intimate.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, a quick little Nagini aside. I guess, but yeah.
Let's so put cool. the snake aside.
Let's put the snake aside. We know that she was turned into a Horcrux then. Mm-hmm. At this time, Peter Pettigrew knows about it. More on that. I'm going to think about that because I'm starting to, you know, mind is racing about Pettigrew and knowing about Horcruxes and stuff. So back to, if I can, before you move on to your points, you get those gathered and ready to go. I wanted to do this at the beginning, and I think now we'll dive into it. Frank.
Yeah.
Frank Bryce.
Absolutely.
Just want
to
mention.
Pay tribute to this man.
He is a veteran. It's said that he had a horrible temper, even back when he was a kid. This is Dot talking about him. During the Second World War, he had, somebody said, oh yeah, it was just a random woman at the Hanged Man who said that he had a hard war, Frank, that is.
And think about this real quick. Sorry, he's 76 years old. That was part of our trivia questions, but he's 76 years old.
77, though.
No, he's going almost going on to be 77.
Oh, man.
In this moment, he's 76. But this happened, the whole murder scene happened 50 years ago. So he was only 36 years old, and he's already lived through a war.
Right, right. And it's hardened him. And he doesn't want to, he's very quiet. He likes the quiet life, and he kind of just keeps to himself, right?
Yeah.
So he was the gardener there. And instantly, even the Riddle's cook says this: who else had a key to the back door then? There's been a spare key hanging in the gardener's cottage, far back as I can remember. Nobody forced the door that night. No broken windows. All Frank had to do was creep up to the big house while we was all sleeping. So, but why? Why that night? What was it that caused Frank to snap that night? It doesn't make sense. And clearly, he gets off, and there's really no that can't explain. Literally, it looks like the bodies were not harmed in any way.
It says they seem to be in perfect health, apart from the fact that they were dead.
Right. So you really can't convict him. There's no evidence to suggest that he did any of that. Right.
Yeah.
The key's still hanging there. Nothing looks like out of the ordinary. It's a complete mystery.
Yeah.
It's as if somebody just apparated in there and just did the deed.
Yeah.
Done. Right. So aloha mora, go in, do your thing. Doesn't touch anything, leaves no fingerprints, nothing. So yeah, that was wild that he had to kind of live with that. And it's crazy too, that your demeanor, just because you, now this is lesson in life, friends, just because you walk a different path and that you are kind of not a part of the majority, it is so, they're so quick to jump on him as the culprit because he had a hard life. He was grumpy. He wasn't what the rest of them wanted him to be.
Right.
It drives me nuts. I see it all the time. It's like, no, he's just allowed to be a grumpy old dude. He's lived a hard life. He wanted a quiet life. But instantly, he is the person that like isn't talking to them. He's not in their social circles. Yeah. And so they want to point to him to say, yep, thought he was weird. Okay. Right. Got to be him.
Yep.
Who else could it be? Right.
No,
he's totally innocent. He didn't do anything. And he's actually went and served like the country and went to war and stuff. Like, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
And he just wants to be left alone. And nobody went. And then again, he's the target now. So,
and rumors like that grow in a village like that. You know, everyone adds a little bit to the story and no one knows anymore what's actually true.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and this kind of carries on into what we see in the dream is that Frank believes that these boys have heard what their parents say, right? Because Dot goes on to say, as far as I'm concerned, he killed them. And I don't care what the police say. And if he had any decency, he'd leave here knowing as how we all know he did it. It's a crazy thing to live with then from then on, that you're a killer that's like on the loose, essentially.
That's already brave, right?
Right.
Just saying, stay. No, this is my home. This is where I want to be.
And he's
sorry.
Here's the thing. The other thing, too, is when you face adversity like this, and I have experience with this, is that when you face that and you come back to the very place where people accuse you of those things and you say, you know what? Frank just did this. He said, watch me. I'm going to continue. I was the same before.
Yep.
You guys accused me. I go on and I'm the same. You guys are wrong. I'm sorry. You know, you guys just get this group mob mentality where you want to come after Frank for something that is dark and unexplainable and you don't quite get it. And I get it. This is as magical and it's got a whole fantasy element to it, but you see it in the real world. And I think J.K. Rowling, you know, captures this in a way that's, you know, it's magical. It's interesting. It's dark. It's intriguing.
Yeah.
But it is also has this reality where people do this and it just drives me nuts. That's why I'm such a fan of Frank.
Yeah.
I'm just like, and the way he faces him down right there
it is epic.
It's epic.
Sorry. We forget because it's totally different in the movie. We don't really see his bravery shine like in the book.
Right, right.
And that's why I want to read this part real quick so we get an idea again of what he did here. And again, he's facing the darkest wizard of his time right now.
Mm-hmm.
So Nagini slithers by him, right? She saw him. She doesn't really pay attention to him, but she definitely goes into the room to tell Voldemort what she saw. There's this old muggle listening to everything you say here. He's still turned towards the fire, and Wormtail opened the door. So there's Frank, now exposed, and Voldemort says, "You heard everything, muggle," said the cold voice. "What's that you're calling me?" said Frank defiantly, for now that he was inside the room. Now that the time had come for some sort of action, he felt braver. It had always been so in the war. "I am calling you a muggle," said the voice coolly. "It means that you're not a wizard." "I don't know what you mean by wizard," said Frank, his voice growing steadier. "All I know is I've heard enough to interest the police tonight, I have. You've done murder, and you're planning more, and I'll tell you this too," he added on a sudden inspiration. "My wife knows I'm up here, and if I don't come back..." "You have no wife," said the cold voice very quietly. "Nobody knows you're here. You told nobody that you were coming. Do not lie to Lord Voldemort, muggle, for he knows. He always knows. He always knows."
He always
knows. Yeah. "Is that right?" said Frank roughly. "Lord, is it? Well, I don't think much of your manners, my lord. Turn round and face me like a man, why don't you?" "But I am not a man, muggle," said the cold voice, barely audible now over the crackling of the flames. "I am much, much more than a man. However, why not? I will face you. Wormtail, come turn my chair around." And the servant gave a whimper. "You heard me, Wormtail." Slowly, with his face screwed up, as though he would rather have done anything than approach his master and the hearth rug where the snake lay, the small man walked forward and began to turn the chair. The snake lifted its ugly triangular head and hissed slightly as the legs of the chair snagged on his rug. And then the chair was facing Frank, and he saw what was sitting in it. His walking stick fell to the floor with a clatter. He opened his mouth and let out a scream. He was screaming so loudly that he never heard the words. The thing in the chair spoke as it raised its wand. There was a flash of green light, a rushing sound, and Frank Bryce crumpled. He was dead before he hit the floor.
Oh, boy. Frank, my gosh. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
This is, so two things. First, I'm going to start with the, I have one that's really like hopeful and awesome and one that's kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
I'll start with the ridiculous one. You know what really killed Frank? Do you know what really killed him? It was a stiff knee. The stiff knee's what got him out of bed that night.
That's true.
He had to go down and change the water. So friends, just I'm sorry to be that guy, but like, take care of your knees, take care of your back.
Aww.
Oh man, if you would have stayed in bed, you know when you hear the creepy weird things at night and you're sort of like, I wish I could have just slept through that.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't it's me investigating it, me poking the hornet's nest that, man, daggone it, Frank.
Yeah, he should have just
I got a bad right knee too, so I kind of relate to Frank. My father's name is Frank, so I mean, I'm just like, man. So there's that. That's kind of an aside, just a quick little joke. But now Frank will, just so y'all know, just as a reminder, because we won't talk about Frank for a long time.
Yeah.
But
we will see him again.
Frank will get his, not revenge, but he will. It actually even says that in the wiki that he is happy. I think. I mean, he's proud to be able to help Harry.
Help something. Yes. Oh, he my goodness. That is such a good connection, because he, in this chapter, he hears, oh my gosh, this boy, Harry Potter, is in danger. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing his spirit experiences is, this is Harry Potter and he needs my help against
my
this so-called Lord.
Right.
I don't think so.
And it's that extra bit of energy that Frank provides that will allow him
Frank
to get back.
Guys.
Frank.
Frank, let's go.
I mean, straight up, he, what a stud. And yes. I was just like, let's go. So just to remind everybody that we don't know if Cedric and mommy and daddy would have been enough of ghost spirit energy to whatever. But the fact that Frank,
he's there,
it's huge.
It's awesome.
Huge. It's great. Now, there is a question, though. I don't remember at the end. We'll have to, again, we're doing the reread. Why is it that only as you go backwards, the spirits that come out are only Lily, James, Cedric, and Frank? Or is there a Bertha?
No, Bertha, maybe Bertha was killed by Nagini.
Okay.
Like bitten by Nagini.
Gotcha. But to make her a Horcrux, I feel like, doesn't he have to?
No, because that happened again before that even. He killed someone with Nagini and made a Horcrux out of it. Was
really?
Yes.
Wait, I thought Nagini was the last Horcrux that he made.
Was she? Was Bertha Jorkins killed by Nagini? Oh, I think she is there in the book.
That's what I was wondering.
Mm. Shadow of Bertha Jorkins surveyed the battle before her with wide eyes. Don't let go now. Her voice echoed like Cedric's. Wow. French toast. Bertha is in the book. She's just not in the... I mean, no one cares about her in the movie.
But that shows you, so essentially, that like Cedric's killed, then Frank. We're going in reverse order. So Cedric, Frank, Bertha, Lily, James.
Mm.
And it stops there.
So he hasn't killed anyone in between.
No, that's what it seems like. I mean, otherwise they would appear.
Yep.
Right? So... Yeah, I mean, he hasn't cast any, and he hasn't, you know, cast
right
any
not through right not through
the wand
Avada Kedavra, not through his wand. He might have through other things. We don't know.
Right now, I still don't know how he got his wand back. By the way, that's always been a mystery.
Yeah,
I did a few shorts on that because who picked it up? I mean, for crying out loud, like how did he get it back? So how did he have it in Albania? Somebody said Peter Pettigrew went and picked it up before.
How did Peter get a wand?
I don't know.
It feels like everyone who's a wand maker, and there's not many, should be alarmed if someone like Peter or Voldemort walks in and wants to have a new wand.
Yeah, it'd be a problem.
So...
But, I mean, we know that Voldemort has his original wand.
I guess you can also Expelliarmus someone, and then maybe the Allegiance, just like Draco's wand, will go over to you.
Right. So, yeah, for Peter, yeah, we're not worried about it. Peter would have gotten his, but it's important that Voldemort has his original Phoenix Core wand.
Right.
You know, so like he has to have that.
Yeah.
And that's what he used to kill Lily Potter.
Yeah.
And then the next death that he causes is Bertha Jorkins in Albania.
Mm-hmm.
So how did his wand get?
Yeah, it has to be the same wand. You're right.
How did he carry his wand from there to Albania? I think J.K. Rowling said that like Peter Pettigrew went back and got it.
Must have.
At Godric's Hollow or something and brought it
with
him.
Or someone. Yep.
You know, but I'm thinking that's just a plot hole. So. It's all good. But anyways, yeah, so it's wild. It's a wild sort of moment there at the end.
Yeah.
So, but go Frank.
Hey, what do you think, Frank, if he went to Hogwarts, what house would he be in?
Frank would have been, he seems hardworking. He's a gardener.
He has a Hufflepuff heart, I think.
Right, and he's got the herbology connection there with gardening, so I feel like Hufflepuff.
Yep, sorry, I know we feel like we just said how brave he was.
He's Gryffindor, a Hufflepuff.
But I think he's a Huffledore.
Yep, big time.
A little Huffledore. Yep. I think you're a Huffledore, too.
Oh, thanks.
That's why you like Frank so much.
Yeah, Frank's cool. So yeah. Anything else, though? I mean, as we kind of wrap this up, I just wanted to, you know, definitely wanted to talk about Frank and his bravery there. And I think, yeah.
This was so amazing. Just covering the first chapter, it sparked so many different questions. And it sparked that energy to go back and research all of this because it's been so long. We've watched the movie so many times.
Yeah.
Now going back to the book, already the first chapter is full of like differences and things that are skipped in the book. And I'm so excited to start this journey.
Me too.
Through
me
the
too.
Goblet.
Yeah. This is the book, I think, where it deviates, or the movie deviates the most.
Yeah, it has to,
because
they didn't have the time. I mean,
it's huge.
You could have definitely made a two-parter out of this movie.
Yeah.
And that's why we're so excited to see what they do with this in the show.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I'm a gushy.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a gushy gushy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So. Okay.
Oh,
time to move
we
on.
We have some scary moments together.
Come
where,
on.
I mean, we say the same thing in the same moment.
Sometimes we cut them out and sometimes we keep them in. This is one we'll keep in.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if that's just what comes with marriage, but sometimes we also hear each other's thoughts. Like where you'll be upstairs,
weird,
think
right?
about something, you come downstairs and I'm like sharing with you what I just thought about. And you're like, are you kidding me?
I was opening my mouth to share the same thing and you literally just...
It's scary sometimes.
It's really crazy. Anyway, well, that's, yeah, chapter one, and it was great. I agree with you. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Hope you guys are as well, too. If there are, again, as always, things that you guys want us to cover, things you want us to talk about, let us know. We are excited. I know you have we have an outpost today, right?
Uh-huh.
So we're going to get to that in just a second, but I am excited to dive into the Patreon episode, just
yeah,
so you guys
me
know.
Too.
So we're going to take a little break for lunch here, and then we'll be recording that this evening, and we've done a lot of research on it. So
we have.
We'll be firing that back up. And just
we
so you guys know.
We dove deep into Tom Riddle's
absolutely.
History.
Absolutely. We've thought about changing the name over there on our Patreon to Bill's Army. Have we talked about that yet?
Yes, we have.
So Dumbledore's Army, Bill's Army, we'll
yes.
kind of see.
Give me the tier?
The tier.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are thinking about changing that. Basically, just turning it into something where you get the extra episode, which we're going to work hard on. And we're going to kind of actually, what we're doing is we're creating long-form videos and
right.
pulling out some theories. And then we're going to bring that in a discussion form
right.
to you guys. So more of a podcast form. But it will be all the research that we do
right.
for our YouTube channel where we make all the videos. So mm-hmm. and we'll do like a nice back and forth. And really, because I think when you talk about stuff in a way that's more like podcast style,
yeah.
you get a good understanding of it, right?
Yes.
You create a better experience with it. And then we can go do a well-polished theory video yeah. on it. So those are coming. We may have, and I'm just dropping this on Lottie. She's going to have some panic in her eyes here. But we may have some Discord stuff coming down the line.
Oh,
and we
Discord.
May,
yes.
Yeah, we've talked about possibly, we're just going to float this out there for you guys, possibly doing like a quarterly kind of like live recording
mm-hmm.
or even a quarterly live episode where you guys can participate if you're in Bill's Army. And because kind of going forward, we're going to be doing just collaborations with other podcasters
yeah.
and content creators. And we'd love for you guys to be able to still have a moment where you can come on and your voice can be heard on
yes.
the podcast. So it's just it's a lot to coordinate. And so we thought, well, what if we just created something, you know, four times a year, once a quarter, where people could pop in and they could actually share their thoughts on some certain topics or a certain chapter. We all read a chapter. It'd be kind of fun.
That'd be so
and
cool.
And everybody chimes in. What it would be is you're kind of muted on the side. And then as you raise your hand, we click on you. You pop in, you share your thoughts, and we can, you know, go back and forth. It'd be a fun way to do it. It's kind of like a we're the teachers, you raise your hand, and then we call on you, and then what'd you think kind of thing. So, but it just makes sure that everybody has an equal opportunity to get their voice on the show. Because we love talking with all of you guys, and we are so thankful
yes.
for the outposts and the Instagram messages and the participation over on Fleur and
yeah.
Bill. Like, it means a lot to us. And I think this past year, as we finished Prisoner of Azkaban, we had so much going on.
Yes.
Just so much in our lives that was happening. And I've tried to explain this to family, to friends, to other people. It's not really, you know, you don't want to float all your laundry out there, but we had a lot going on. And now we feel like we're coming out of that, and we want mm-hmm. to, we gave ourselves some time, some grace to kind of get ready for Goblet of Fire and get ready for these Patreon episodes. And as we lead into the summer, we'll start that quarterly sort of Discord thing. We'll have the time to do that. And the next year, we're going to have a lot more time. Lottie's going to be doing something different for us here on the show and in our lives, and it's going to be great.
Yes, and thank you guys for bearing with us through these more busy months of last year. So
yes,
yeah, and we do have an owl post for today. Thank you so much to our beloved Joan. She wrote us an email and says, "Hello, it's Joan again." Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you are. I think so.
I'm catching up on my podcast after listening to audiobooks. Nothing wrong with that. Love audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So after listening to audiobooks for about a month, including the Dumbledore book. Let's go. That's so cool.
Yeah,
we often go back to the Dumbledore book and pull things from it because it's so good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say I've been enjoying the new episodes of the podcast. Prisoner of Azkaban is my favorite. And the Joan references make me smile every time. That's awesome. Mm. I love being able to come back to Shell Cottage and listen to all the Harry Potter content. It feels like home. Thank you for all you do, Joan.
Yay. Joan, thank you so much. Yeah, it's for us, it's fun. I mean, it's sort of the character and I don't know, like the tasty bits of our podcast where we have people write in and we have comments and we're able to kind of shout your name out or, you know, have funny moments. It's like the lore of the podcast. It's fun.
I think if we ever make t-shirts, we need to make a Joan t-shirt.
Yeah, we should.
And spell it like different ways or something.
Yeah, well, it should just be a collage of how you pronunciations of Joan. Joan.
Joanne. Okay, we're not going to start that again.
No.
I thank you so much for writing in. We always enjoy hearing from you guys. So, and we love, you know, just the fact that we bring a little bit of joy to your day. That's awesome. That really makes it worthwhile for us.
Yeah.
All the time and worth the hard work. And we enjoy the process, but we enjoy it even more knowing that you guys enjoy it. So thanks.
Right. Now I'm going to put Lottie on the spot here. There's one podcast I want to shout out, and if she can, she can look up the other one real quick. Look up Lori Kim's podcast. And,
Yes.
I wanted to shout out the Three Broomsticks podcast. They have, I think they just started a few months ago. And I'm trying to get more information on them. But we had just mentioned the author of the Dumbledore book. And he's a member of that podcast. And there's a couple other members on there that I think you guys would recognize in the community. So they started a podcast called The Three Broomsticks. And it just looks really cool. They have, let me back up here.
I feel like that name has been around for a while as a podcast.
I was going to say, maybe I'm wrong.
Familiar, but maybe they revamped it a little bit.
I think their Instagram is what I saw recently, so they got a presence on Instagram, and I was like, oh, cool, really neat. So maybe they've been around a little bit longer. Looks like maybe 2023. So, but go check them out. I'd love to chat with them. I think I'd just be sitting back and like dumbfounded by the things that they talk about, the way they're so much more fluent, I think, in Harry Potter, and just, I mean, they've written books on it, right? They've written blogs and stuff on it. So they're people that we sometimes pull inspiration from. So want to make sure that we give them a shout out and that you guys have a chance to go check them out and listen to them. And tell them that Fleur and Bill sent you from Shell Cottage Radio, if you can. So, yes.
Yes.
You have Lori Kim?
Yeah, I have it right here. So it is called Harry Potter After 2020, and it is produced by three lovely ladies, by Lori herself, by JC, and Caroline. So just to give them a shout out here, they talk about the entire book series chapter by chapter, but from the perspective of how does it feel to read Harry Potter after 2020?
Cool. Very cool. So I know we've referenced Lori before. We met her at LeakyCon, and wonderful spirit.
She's amazing.
So
loved listening to her. Yeah.
For sure. And we've been listening to your book to fall asleep to, by the way. So
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's
to
a great
say?
Thing, I'm gonna tell you, because it puts my sometimes. Actually, yeah, it's not a great thing sometimes because it gets really interesting, and I'm like, I can't fall asleep to it. But I also love the idea of just drifting off to something Harry Potter. So my mind's active for about 30 to 40 minutes and then I drift off. But we also listen to it in the car on the way to and from school. So,
yes.
Lori, we enjoy your book.
And I love that. It's just a big, long love letter to Snape.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Fantastic. Yep.
Very cool. So, yeah, the Three Broomsticks and then Harry Potter After 2020, just some that have come across our feed and we thought would be fun to share with you guys. So go check them out. Tell them that Fleur and Bill sent you their way. So, okay.
All right.
All right, friends. Well, that is all for this week. Thank you for tuning into Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like babbling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons.
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, then be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow on social media at Fleur and Bill.
I just realized that the baboons thing is also in this book.
Yes.
Where Professor McGonagall is teaching them how to dance.
It's like we designed our whole podcast around Fleur and Bill.
I know. I think.
And the fourth year.
The fourth book might now become my favorite book.
It's where we meet.
I have had my thoughts. Every single book is worth reading, obviously, and I love them, and they are all so different. And we come back to them for different reasons, but I think the fourth book might slither its way into my top one. Two.
You've literally, you know, right, that you've said every single, like, I love it. You're like, this book is like the first book. Oh, it's got the feel. It's my favorite. Second book. You know, there's something about this
there
book.
There is something
it's
about
just
it.
Just so good. It makes, it's probably my favorite. Third book, guys, that Lupin, I mean, he's here. This is my favorite. You know what? Actually, Fleur shows up in this and Bill.
And Bill and Fleur meet. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably my favorite. So
I mean, we will have to do another ranking after we're done with rereading all the books for sure.
True.
And I'm looking forward to it, guys. All right. If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing Wizarding family over on Patreon or Apple Premium. And you will find all the links down below. Thank you so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you to Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 2, The Scar. So make sure you tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.